Shall we pray, Father? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for this privilege of being here again and for this great gathering, this assembling of your people together. You promised that if we would do this and pray, then you'd hear from heaven. And we know that thou wilt do this because it's your promise. And we pray that you'll move on us with grace tonight. Baptize us, especially with the Holy Spirit, with glory out of the service, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Be seated. The meetings are almost too short. They just, I first thought when Joseph mentioned this to me that according to my schedule, I could only stay 2 days. And then we set it up a little farther by the courtesy of the other place that I was going, and we got to make it 5 days. And so I told Joseph that I'd go to have to kind of make this kind of my trip to kind of stay away from Chicago a little while because I'm here too much. Hey, I wear my welcome out and pray. And someone said many times that if you want to call Brother Branham, if he ain't home, call Chicago, and if he ain't there, call Freeport, Louisiana. He'll be one of those places that Brother Joseph or Brother Moore at Freeport. And last fall, this fall, or late summer, I was at Freeport in a tent revival, and I told Brother Moore, I said, now, Brother Moore, there's a lot of brethren in the eastern country and different places I've never visited, and they look at that. And I'm afraid to sort of offend them a little now. I said, now, I'll kind of let up a little around Freeport and Chicago and to finish these meetings that I got. Until, unless the Lord would call me to do something different. And then, until I visit some of the other brethren around. And now, someone was telling me, I believe, Billy, last night, the night before, said there were some brethren wanted to meet me in order to find out about some time to have some meetings. Well, now, I don't make any of the meetings, any of the itinerary. The itinerary is all made up of Freeport, Louisiana. See, there's several of us in this group. And if one makes it up and the other makes it up, and the other, then we have to, well, this fellow made it wrong, so we have to cancel that. And, oh my, that hurts. After done had the promise. And the speech life word is Brother Moore at Freeport, Louisiana. And we got open dates. If we don't go overseas right away after Christmas, we got some open date stands. Now, come on, until the last date that I have now is in Lima, Ohio, with the Baptist people at an auditorium, beginning on January the 10th through the 15th at Lima, Ohio. That's my last date that I know of at this time. Now, I think from there, there's got some in California, that they're going to make some dates in California up around San Francisco and then down in the San Fernando Valley with the Spanish people, Phoenix, for just a few nights, and they're coming east again. Now, in the month of last of October and the 1st of December, after a return from Idaho, they're going to have some in, I think it's Virginia and Maryland or somewhere up in that way. There's some meetings I don't know yet. Mr. Moore's never told me. He will let me know after I get home from this time. And now, if you, I'd love to come to your place, each one of you. And we're making up some short, fast meetings, 3 to 5 nights, just around to get to visit the brethren, before making a worldwide tour, all the ever major city in the world, and leaving on the East Coast, coming back to the West. And after the meeting is over, in many parts of the country, there's something on my heart. Here a few weeks ago, I was in a certain city and having a meeting, which many of you are acquainted with. And there had been a Lutheran college there. And in a former meeting, the man had told me I was a polished-up soothsayer because of the vision. And he wrote to me after that, and he said, I make this a horrible way of a Bible teacher. Well, I guess that's right. But not only what he said, I was surprised to hear a man that faces the people you do and make a statement that Satan can't heal. Well, I said, we know that Satan can heal. But in the city I come from, he said, we have a woman there that she has. She's a witch-like, and she takes the people to come to her for a sick, and she pulls hair out of her head and plucks her veins and gets blood in it, walks down the river, throws it over her back, and as she walks up to the upper bank, if something makes her turn around and look, the disease comes back to the people. If it doesn't, the people get lost. She said, "Miss Brown, I've set at least 20 or 30% of those people get healed." And he said, "Now, you're just a boy with all my 47 years." He said, "I was preaching before you was born." And after I wrote him back, he said, "I was a Beelzebub." I said, "Now, first thing, I want to forgive you for that, brother. But what if I was right, then what have you done? See? What if I was right? See? Then what have you done? You've blasphemed the Holy Ghost, which is unpardonable. Whosoever speaks a word against them, what Jesus said, will never be forgiven in this world or world of time." And I said, "I forgive you for that because I believe that you didn't understand." And I said, "I love you because that you're interested enough in our Lord Jesus to try to correct me thinking I'm wrong." I said, "I appreciate that. Anybody that try to correct me when I'm wrong, I want to be corrected." But I said, "Now, as far as you think that Satan could heal, I want to just give you the scripture Jesus said he could not heal. So that settles it for me." Jesus said, when they told him that he was healing by Satan, he said, "If Satan can cast out Satan, then his kingdom survives." So I said, "That settles it as far as I'm concerned, up here." I said, "There's a lot of people in this land today calling themselves divine healers. And people go to them and say, 'Oh, I got power, I'll do this.'" So I said, "Certainly, the people get healed." I said, "Just send it to them for the witch." But it's not the witch that does it, neither is it the divine healer. It's the people's faith thinking they're approaching God through that witch. And God's got to recognize faith that God's to work that. You know that's right. So in this, all out of great people come on, and then this dean wrote me a letter and said, "I want to interview with you." And the manager granted it. They take me out to a great Lutheran college and home there. And sitting at the table, I thought, "Well, I'll still get it now." So he said, "Brother Branham, we've been in your meetings and we're fully persuaded that it's the Holy Ghost." And I said, "Yes, sir?" I thought, "Oh, my." And he said, "We ourselves, as Lutherans, are seeking God." He said, "If it'll come from your lips that there's something different besides what we have received Christ by faith, we want to know." I said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" He said, "Well, I never thought of that." I said, "Neither did those Baptists that time in Acts 19. They believing, shouting, screaming, having a great joy, but they hadn't received the Holy Ghost yet." So Paul laid his hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. He said, "What must we do?" I said, "How many of you hungry?" He said, "The whole group of us." I said, "We'll move back to the table and go over to the wall and kneel down." We made a big roll around the great arena there where we had it in there. I went around and laid hands on them, 72 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So they're having a great time over there. Now, if God will do that in America, or Lutherans, he'll do it in Africa, Asia, wherever it is, for Lutherans, Baptists, Presbyterians, Catholics, or whoever hungers and thirsts for God. What a great thing. Now, tonight, we're trying to evangelist tonight, but we want to hurry right through if we can, and tomorrow night, if I'm just a little lingering tonight, I was going to ask about the testimony. Did it come and mention and Brother Joseph? So you haven't had time. How many here tonight that was prayed for last night that feel that God touched your body? That's your hands. Now those who prayed for last night. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. About 12 we got seen. I got that one over there. All right, just about 12, I think. Well, I think I had about another 60 or 70 up here. Maybe I better continue on, man, as it used to be, because I think I get better than that in the beginning. And so I think there's Earl Roberts' ministry, and we can Earl Roberts take time. The Lord has given us something to do in time. We can minister the way the Lord has provided. So don't hurry, because you're not in the line now, because God wants to use that over your city. I think that's the best. God's a good God. He's really good. And He'll give you your desire. Like in the Bible, how Thomas said, "Oh, I won't believe it." Now look, all the rest of the disciples said, "Sure, we believe it. Yes, sir. He's risen from the dead. We believe it." Thomas said, "Nope, I don't believe it. I got to have more than that. I got to have evidence. I got to put my hands in His side and so forth before I believe it." Yes, sir. He's a good God. He said, "Come here, Thomas. Now touch me." Thomas said, "Oh, you're the Lord. I know you are now." He said, "Now you've seen and you believe how much greater is there what we've never seen yet believe." See? That's it. You must believe. You know what kind of time Paul had with the Corinthian church? Everyone had a tongue, had a psalm, had a some kind of something they had to do before they believed they had the Holy Ghost. See? And Paul had trouble with them. He never had that with Ephesians, Galatians, any of those. He never had to speak about it. Well, there were people who had faith and just believed God and accepted it, and everything was all right. See? So they, but God's a good God. If you want it that way, He'll give it to you. I just like to believe Him, don't you? Just take Him at His word. I just like to believe it that way. Now, may the Lord add His blessings now as we fellowship together. Tomorrow night, I guess Joseph has made the announcement that there's Brother Austin and Brother Tommy Hicks and Brother Overly is going to be here to continue this meeting through the week. They are real good brothers. And now I know Brother Austin real well. I know him real well, and I know he's a very fine brother. I know Tommy Hicks real well, and I know he's a fine brother. Now, I don't know Brother Overly too well. I met him by Christ, but he sure seems to be a fine brother. And I want you to continue to come and bring out the neighbors and everything to hear these brothers. They're a good man, or God wouldn't be using the way they are. And now, I've left my hometown when Billy Graham was over there, and I've always wanted to meet Billy Graham. And he's in Louisville now, preaching. My family and them attending, our churches are closed and everything, are cooperating in the meeting to do everything we can to put the effort. I live back to him. Well, 85% of the alcoholic beverages that one of these drunken people on the street comes from Louisville, Kentucky. And the tobacco factory is such a key statement. And you people in Chicago pray that God will anoint that evangelist, Billy Graham, for there will be a revival going on in Louisville. And we'll start something. And I pray for him, and I pray for him all the time, each day and every night and everything, because God's using the man in a great way. A very fine brother, so I'm told. Now, over in 2 Kings, in the 9th chapter and the 30th verse, I want to take just a little scripture here, a few words to go back in the Old Testament again to read. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face, tied her head, and look out at the window. And may the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word. Now, we go back again in the Old Testament because the Old Testament is always a foreshadow of the New Testament. And the Bible says that they were examples in Hebrews 11. That they were examples. And on over in 12, it says in Hebrews, seeing that we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, that we might run with patience the race that's set before us, looking to the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we see what God did back there to those people upon certain attitudes that they've taken towards God, and then if we find out, if we will take the same attitude that they did, we will receive the same reward that they did. You can just expect, because God never changes. He's just the same. His blessings are the same and His penalties are the same. And Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then I'm going to see, I forgot, and they brought me over to ask Billy if he'd give out prayer cards tonight. If he didn't, we'll have to get some, maybe, don't throw your card down. There'll be, how many of you have got prayer cards? Raise your hand. Well, that's fine. There's enough there anyhow to pray for, have a prayer line if we don't. And we'll go continue right on. So I'll let up just a little on the evangelistic side tonight in order to pray for the sick. Now, Jezebel. That the name makes everybody shiver just to say Jezebel. That was just a common name. Just a name like Martha, Ruth, or Mary, or some other name. But when they just hear the name Jezebel, it was all because of one woman that took the wrong road. Now, I'd imagine Jezebel, just because she had the name of Jezebel, didn't make her what she was. It wasn't her name that did that. It was her attitude. That's what made it. And the name should make her shiver like the attitude that she took ought to make her shiver. But you mentioned Jezebel, ooh, not. But mention some of her sin, oh, well, that's all right. And it wasn't the name that made her. It was her sin that made her what she was. Your name don't make you what you are. It's your character that makes you. Your character molds you and makes you what you are. I've always said, let me go into a man's house and let him stand out on the street and testify, sing, shout, speak with tongues, dance in the spirit, anything he wants to do. Let me go into his house and look at these old pin-up girls all around the wall. Let me look at these magazines that he's reading here on his desk and listen to him turn the radio on to some of that African nonsense of rock and roll and boogie-woogie. I can tell you right now what kind of a spirit he's got. See what it feeds on? I don't care how much he carries on out there on the street. Here's what he's really feeding on. That's his diet. Right. And me, how much, no matter how well he claims and how good society and what he's standing and what his social status is, that doesn't make a bit of difference. Watch what his spirit feeds on. What music he listens to, what he reads, what he looks at. You can tell what he's made out of then. And his character will always tell. Now, Jezebel was perhaps just a lovely little girl at one time. She bounced around on her mother's knee and probably with her dad, and just like any other little girl. And never did that Papa and Mama ever think that her name would go down in history as one of the outstanding examples of cruelty and sin, one of the greatest among women names that's in the Bible, or in history of any world. Lady Maccabee wouldn't compare with her. And Lady Maccabee was arrested in Oklahoma smoking a cigar for speeding, driving a carriage to the street. And Dr. Ibben, in his great meeting, was asked, when he told the story of her, when all the religions of the world had met here about 50 or 60 years ago, and he told this story of how horrible she was, and when they caught her and tied and feathered her, they were so filthy that they didn't even want to put their hands on her. He told the story with such a way till everyone sitting on the end of his seat listening. He was, and then when he got through, he stepped back to the microphone, a little fellow he was. He said, "Gentlemen of the religions of this world, has your religion got anything that'll clean the hands of Lady Maccabee?" Everybody sat still. He jumped in the air and clicked his heels together and clapped his hands, said, "The blood of Jesus Christ won't only clean your hands, but it'll clean your heart." That's right. That's what the religion of Christianity means. It'll clean them no matter how vile they are. And so, that's it, little Jezebel, when she was a little girl hopping along around home, skipping, playing, jumping the rope, or whatever a little girl did, little did they ever know it should turn out that way. But then what made her what she was the kind of teaching she got at home. And she was a pagan. And what teachings that you get at home, that's what usually you are. It's what kind of a teachings you listen to. She was taught to hate God, Jehovah, because her God was Balaam. And she was taught to hate God and hate God's people. And that hatred for that, in her heart, It made her what she was. But oh my, another thing, no wonder Ahab, his father was a backslider to begin with, and Ahab was a borderline lukewarm believer. Just an indebtedness to society of Christianity would be today, and indebtedness to the kingdom of God in that day. He was just a man who was wishy-washy and not stable at all. But I imagine he was a handsome young man with his hair slicked down, you know, and kind of a little, one of these boys that's going out with these, what did you call them, dragon hot rods or something on that order, you see. One of these little fellows that runs around like today. And you know, it goes to show that he was that type of person or he wouldn't have fell for that type of woman. That's right. Israel was supposed to marry Israelites. It wasn't supposed to mix marriage. You know that, John.
Right.
It wasn't, and you're not supposed to do it today either.
Right.
Yoke unbelievers with believers. That's against the law of God, against the Bible. And so, you know, little Jezebel had learned one thing in her home, and that was to use paint. That's the heathen trait. Any paint never in the world, but all painting of faces originated with heathen, is always condemned by believers. I hope this goes real far down home. This will make you real good and sick for a few minutes. But now don't get angry with me. I love you. But I just want to tell you what's true. Remember, I've just returned from the African jungle. Everyone, the tribal, the heathen, on every kind of occasion, they paint their face and wear their big earrings. The Indian savage heathen paints his face and puts on war paint when he goes in his war, his worship around his idols. He paints. He changed. It's a heathen sign. Too bad it ever got in a Christian church, wasn't it? There it was. That was a weak toolkit what brought that in. The preacher ought to be ashamed of himself. So she was used to painting. She made herself a little butterfly. And brother, that's the kind that can jilt a many good man. That's right. See him on the street with a little lip, look like a rosebud and a whole lot of black factors on that, but that'll never burn out the skin. Don't you never think that. God looks right to it. And so Jezebel knew how to put it on to make it look nice. And so when Ahab, this young Jewish boy, becomes king, she put the manicure on her eyes or whatever you call it, you know, and she slapped them back and forth, and Ahab's heart went crumbling because he didn't have God in there to teach him better. That's right. So, my, what a thing that was. Now, when she began to flirt with Ahab, Ahab married her. She thought, that's just the one for me. And a many men made a mistake like that. A many man has done it. You ought to see her on wash day once she gets cleaned up. Really. Might change your mind altogether. Women shouldn't be married by looks anyhow, but by character. Let me tell you, boy, if you marry her and she's all painted up one of these days, she'll fail. Even if she's pretty, that'll fail one of these days. Wait till her first baby's born and the people go coming out. A little later on, wrinkles will come over eyes and the hair will get gray. You'll wake up one morning and wonder what you married. Right. I mean, that's no joke. No, that's true. I'm just laying the background here for something I want to say. Okay. That's right. But if you love her because there's something about her that she's prayed over and God has joined you together, she can get old and wrinkled and be ugly. That won't make a bit of difference. You'll love her through eternity. But God has joined together, no man to put asunder. That's right. So ask God for it. But Ahab, he goes down and falls for this girl. So he comes up and marries her and brings her into Israel. And when she come up being a pagan, and did you notice Ahab went down there and showed that he was a borderline believer, he just went to dilly-dallying with the world to get this girl. And that's where many persons made a mistake, stepping across the line. God has a boundary line. An old Methodist preacher friend of mine, Brother Kelly, him and Sister Kelly used to sing a song. We let down the bars, we let down the bars, we compromise with sin. We let down the bars, the sheep got out, but how did the goats get in? You let down the bars, that's what was the matter. You compromised with sin. That's how the goats got in, because you let down the standard. While old John Smith years ago, who was pastor of the pulpit, could only preach 2 hours or so, he only preached 2 hours left without a microphone, he said, the very thought, that's Methodism, nearly. He said, the very idea that our Methodist daughters are wearing jewelry on their hands. What we do now to see them in shorts. See? What do you think now? That's Methodist, Baptist, and Pentecostal. Just the same. All the same. I want to show you where it comes from, what the background of it is. Then you see why I'm so angry with it. Not with you, but the things of the devil that's making you do that. Now, don't think it's because I say this. If you go out and clean up just because I said that, then you're wrong. Yes, get out and pray. And let God come into your heart and clean up anyhow. I'm sure. So as long as that spirit stops in control, you'll fuck that and then fight back and say it's not so and all like this, and you'll shake your head like a sheep with blind tigers, but it won't do any good. Because if the Holy Spirit is in me, you'd better get right with that stuff before you meet the judgment. Right. So don't let your pastor tell you anything different, because it's thus saith the Lord in God's Word. That's right. And so we find Jezebel tying her head, which was cutting her hair, rolling it up, tying her head, which is a disgrace. A woman that cuts her hair dishonors her husband, the Bible says so. A dishonorable woman should be divorced and put away. So that's the sign that she loves somebody else, according to the Bible, that she dishonors her husband when she does it. You ask the Bible, how many knows that so? Raise up your hand, all knows the Bible says that. And what do you do it for? I wonder why you did it, because your pastor probably never said any different. But we need some strict old-fashioned evangelistic teaching of tear that thing to people. It's right. No wonder we can't have a revival. God can send gifts and everything else to a city and do miracles and perform things in the people, except no wonder we sin in this hand. We got to clean that thing out and operate. That's exactly right. And have the church straightened up and running right, and then God will come in and go to doing signs and wonders among us. You know that's right. I don't say that to hurt you, I say that because I love you. And at the judgment, boy, then I've got to stand before every individual here and give an account. That's all for my chest, and that's on yours. So you pray and see what God says. I believe that the Holy Spirit comes into you, and you keep that same spirit, so keep on doing the same thing. But you just change that spirit to the Holy Spirit, watch how quick you change things. You sure will. Now, and so then, Jezebel, when she got in there, she stomped that little high heel shoe she was wearing, and she said, now, Ahab, I'll run this business. That's wrong to begin with. The man's ahead of the house. Or if you're in the United States, the woman's ahead of the house here. This is a woman's country. The woman is the God of America. I predict that before the coming of the Lord, that a woman will be a great ruler in the United States, because it's a woman's country. Started in Hollywood. That's how we run that on out. And now, you see a little old man coming down the street, and a little Jezebel with a cigarette in his mouth, puffing along like that. She says, well, she collars that, and he jumps it over. That's right. And at night time, she's sat out there with that pretty red fingernails, so it looks like eagle's claws, and been eating raw beefsteak with it. Standing out there, she won't wash the dishes, because she's afraid the paint will come off while her poor husband is scrubbing dishes after washing like that, and they're sitting there stuffing a cigarette, and he takes care of the baby. Right. That's rank, isn't it? Sounds ridiculous, but it's the Bible and the truth. It's exactly right. How could you ever eat a pan of biscuits with a woman that made it with that big long fingernail? I couldn't, I tell you, and it would turn my stomach. I just couldn't do it. So, anyhow, but oh my, it's all right. But you little weakling man, I'm ashamed of you as Christian brothers. Well, let your wife do such a thing as that. It shows what you are made out of. That's right. Now, women, you always say amen if it's brushing his shoe like that, because he's the ruler. That's right. And the way he lets you do it, it's his fault. God could hold him responsible for it. That's right. If you ain't man enough to take up and help your own house, in order, God be merciful to you. That's right. Because the Bible said in the very beginning that he shall rule over thee. Now, she's not a girl now. She's your sweetheart, see. But you should sit down and talk to her and reason it with her and tell her and read the Bible and pray together. These things wouldn't be in the church then if you didn't know. That's right. So, Jezebel, when she comes over, her little husband one day got kind of upset because that a man wouldn't break the tradition of God and the laws of God to let him have his faith, because the law said that he should keep his heritage and be handed down, Naboth. But then when we find out that he wouldn't do it, Ahab began to pine and running and fell across the bed, and little Jezebel, the little butterfly, come and got him up in her lap and said, "Now, dear, what's wrong with you?" Said, "Oh, Naboth, just let me have his vineyard." She said, "Don't worry, I'll get it for you. Who's the ruler of this kingdom anyhow?" See, that cuts me like in the mind of the denominational barriers. See, "I'll get it for you. You just let me have my way. I'll get it." And she stomped her little foot and went out there and got some more guys that were kind of backsliders and went over and set up a false accusation against Naboth and had him stoned and killed. But remember, when such sin as that goes on among the people, God's always got somebody that'll stand out and tell them about it. Amen. Yes, sir. He had a tish bite for the name of Elijah. Walked out there and told them people that was wrong. He said, "God will make you answer for that kind of stuff." Right. No matter how vile it is, somewhere God's going to have a witness to speak against it. That's all. Somewhere he'll able these stones to rise children to Abraham. He'll do it in some way, somewhere, by somebody. And there, all the prophets, oh my, Jezebel might turn on them. And they just cut water and went on. But old Elijah stood out there and he told them right exactly that God will make you pay for it and you're against God. And we told them what was right and wrong. And she hated him. My, did she hate him. Sure. And you go to tell them the truth to people, many times they'll hate you instead of repenting. Right. You ought to be repenting and thanking God to know what's true. That's right. But oh, she hated that prophet now. So he goes up there and she has a false accusation set up against Naboth and had him stoned to death. And the man died in his out there in the street. And then she thought, "Oh, nobody never knows about that. That's all right. I sent two of my ambassadors up there and sat on the stand and accused him of being a traitor to God and to the king." When the man was perfectly innocent and they stoned him, she thought, "That'll be all right." But just as sure as you know that sin and wickedness lies at your door, there's a God of heaven who knows all things. Remember that. He does. He knows all things. And then, when he did that, he spoke to Elijah and said, "Go down there and meet Ahab and tell him, God saith the Lord." Amen. I love that. Oh, my. When sin does abound, grace does much more abound. Right. That he had somebody down there who'd go skinny down for him. So he met Ahab coming on the road. And Ahab was going up there to take possession, and they had the man killed because he was absolutely doing exactly what God told him to. That inheritance was to fall from generation to generation. And if he lost it anyway, it had to be redeemed by a kinsman. Read the book of Ruth and the kinsman laws and see if that isn't right. So she had him killed for his voice, and Ahab come supposedly to know better. The word was before him, and the prophet was before him, and instead of that, so land crazy to have a beautiful garden next to his place, so he goes up there and takes it over by force. And Elijah met him on the road and told him that because that you did this, you murder, that the dog that licked Naboth's blood is going to lick your blood in the same way. Brother, I mean, when God gets enough of anything, he gets enough of it. He said, besides that, that Jezebel that she married. Oh, my. He didn't care to talk about his wife. And he said, that Jezebel that she married, the dogs will even eat her in the street in Jezreel. And the dung will be on the ground if they can even say, "Here lies Jezebel." Oh, my. Woman, you wouldn't want to be like that, would you? Not even remember that stuff anyway. said that. And you can remember when you see all that going on like that, the only woman in the Bible that did that, God fed her to the dogs. Right. That's, when you see a woman doing that, you say that's some dog meat then, you see, because that's what God did. He fed it to the dogs. He fed them kind of women to the dogs. So you keep away from that. Enough. Amen. Get right with God. What we need is an old-fashioned scouring out. Dig it out. Get those weeds out of the pack so the corn can grow. Jesus is coming. All right, that's what we need. Back to the old hewing line again. Back to the way. God will come among us, but as long as you got the world mixed in, God won't move. You wonder sometimes why that things are going the way they are. You just look around a little while. Pray a little bit, and God will condemn sin. Notice. And then, the first thing you know, the things got worse. And Elijah set up in the mountains up there alone. God told him, said, go down there and show him a vision. But I just got enough of it. Said, go down there and tell Ahab that I will not let rain or even dew come until you call for it. Now, a man of God will always follow the true word of God. Now, Jezebel has threatened him and everything else. Well, you say, now, Brother Branham, wait a minute before you leave Jezebel. That little woman may not have had a chance. She was born to pagans. She didn't have a chance. Oh, yes, she did, too. She had a pastor, Pastor Elisha. And Elisha was afraid to tell her about it. Don't think God always puts the light there. She just refused to walk in the light, that was all. Right. Oh, she didn't want to call Elijah her pastor, certainly not. She had other far more dignified men for her pastor, but God sent Elijah to be her pastor. No matter how much she hated him because the Jewish religion was too straight for her. That's what's the matter today, that people want to act like the world and talk like the world and dress like the world and make the church and the world all the same. The Christian, the Holy Ghost religion is too straight for them. That's the only thing. Amen. The reason you want to call them holy rulers and say you haven't got the right mind and things is too straight for you to live it. That's what's the matter. And some of you people who used to be that way turned aside. What am I saying? My. Maybe that's good. But is there like Mama used to bring the cash jar and she said, I just dragged the think of it. She said, if it don't make you sick, it don't do you any good. Maybe that's the same thing here, to get you right sick of yourself, maybe fix your spiritual gastronomy so he can really take the word. They're wondering, Elijah went out and bumped up into a palace and out of past all the guards and things, and he told Ahab with his finger in his face, said, there will not even be dew come from the heavens, so I'll call for it. Oh, my. Why? God spoke to him. He was with the word of God, so he wasn't scared. Don't never be afraid. Michael was afraid of the word of God. No man's afraid when you've got the word of God and the vision of God moving with the word. The reason Michael could condemn against them prophets and tell them they were wrong and they had the devil's spirit in them, because there was fashions and everything that they were doing, and because they were not lined up with the word, and God gave the true vision to the true prophets. And he was trying to line them up. And now, and today, the true vision is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The true prophet is the baptism of the Holy Spirit himself. He is the one that comes and lines us with the word. And notice, not some bishop or archbishop, but the Holy Spirit leads the church. Amen. Now, watch. Now we find out that, could you imagine Ahab standing there and looking at him, the king, and this old fellow made him look like a fuzzy worm with all his beard and hair sticking out like that and a piece of sheepskin running. The Bible said he was hairy all over anyhow. I'd imagine he was a pretty looking sight standing there in the king's court, but shaking his finger in his face and said, the dew will not even fall from heaven till I call for it. Amen. He had such faith the Lord. Paul got back out into the wilderness. As he got by, I could hear Ahab all of, ha, ha, ha. And that old quack come here and said a thing like that. Did you ever hear such? Well, we've got the clergyman set there. He know all these things. Why, there's nothing wrong here. He's just old-fashioned, an old fogey, but he had just passed the Lord. Yes, sir, and he stomped right back out of the wilderness. Someone said, walk away, boy. Oh, don't pay attention to it. And he went up by the brook, see, looking, sat down. Up there, the Lord told him to go up there. For I'm going to take care of you while you're up there. I like that. You mind the Lord, and the Lord will take care of you. You just do what thus saith the Lord is, and he'll take care of you. And Elijah goes up there and sits down, just as confident that the rain wasn't going to fall as he could be. And the first thing you know, come a drought. All the springs dried up. And they thought he was crazy. And here he was, he was an old fogey. He was old-fashioned. Everything like that, and an old crank in his preaching. But he was God's pastor to the nation then. Pastor Elisha, the Tishbite. And they wouldn't listen to him. But they said he was a little off. But he goes up and sits down by the spring, by the will of God. And here the people down here in the valley, where all the hydrants was and all the springs falling up, starving to death for a drink of water. And there said Elijah up there drinking anytime he wanted to. Because he had thus heard the Lord. Now I wonder today if you think because you've got a great big denomination you belong to, or some great big church with a cross on top of a $1 million church organ, that you can drink anytime you want to. I tell you, the springs only open at thus saith the Lord. There he stood up there getting a good old spiritual drink anytime he wanted to. The water's dried up down here in the land. I think today a whole lot of trouble that the waters are dried up in our land, too, our Christian land. What was the matter? A long time ago, we used to have old-fashioned meetings where the people would cry and walk up and down the aisles, lay on their face all night and pray and bring their children in and to the kingdom of God. And today, they got babysitters and they used to, it was a shame for a woman to smoke a cigarette. Today, the whole company of people smoke cigarettes, and it used to be a shame for a woman to paint and use all these things. But today, it's all this one. You can't tell the Christian from the other. It's all the same. You know what's the matter? Your water line's been cut off. That's what's the matter. They're in a desert. That's the reason you got church buses all the time. You know that you take any kind of plant and put it on the desert where there's no water, it gets stickers on it. And you take that same plant and put it where there's a lot of water, it gets soft. And why is it? It's because it's dry. And that's what's the matter with churches today. The stuff is glory of God, I'm a Baptist. Hallelujah. I'm a Presbyterian. I'll tell you, we have the best collection of the pastors. Yes, sir. We don't have the picture-old Pentecostal theology. I'll tell you, I belong to the Assembly. That's who I am. We're as great as the rest of them. I belong to the United. I belong to this, that, or the other. I see your stickers. Your water supply is gone. That's what's the matter. That's just what's the matter. The water's been cut off. You don't have the things like you used to have years ago. The miracles and things are not in the church. The feeling, the fellowship's not in the church like it used to be. What's the matter? The glory spring that led to your hallelujah garden was cut off. What did it? Sin! Sin! Getting in the church and getting in you, what did it? Because the weakness of the pulpit to keep the lines unstopped. That's right. Amen. That's the truth. It might seem awful truth, but it's the truth. And if you don't stop and call an old-fashioned prayer meeting and get back to God, what will you be in 10 years from now? Somebody better raise up and go to preaching this thing and get this thing out of the church. It's a cancer, and it's eating to the bone. Get it out. God send evangelists who will stand on the word and preach the word, and you see that thing going on, and then let it go like that. Well, you're the day I met a bunch of women who was having a prayer meeting, shouting and speaking in tongues, with short songs, smoking cigarettes. Pentecostal, God have mercy. If that's
couldn't carry is exactly what it is. I'm not judged about it, truth you shall know it. Do you realize it's insanity? Do you realize there's only one time in the Bible that anyone ever stripped their clothes off, and that was a devil-possessed person? Do you realize that all this stuff that's going on today, these rock and roll parties that you all are attending, up in them places when they go so frantic and get in such a maneuver, the pressing them, the young ladies take their underneath clothes off and throw them up on the platform to end the autograph and call that civilization? When they send dozens of them to the insane asylum afterwards, and our radio programs and everything there you hear is full of that chaos, it's the devil! Like a roaring lion! And they're bringing that same thing with boogie-woogie and everything into the church. Way in the Hottentots of Africa, that same mournful sound. When I see them stand there, and the witch doctors are going in sound, heathens with paint over their face, and the young women have danced out there to the red sex parties and everything else. And America has reached the top of civilization and swinging backwards and going into heathens again, painting and rocking and rolling dust and even calling themselves church members. And many times they had one here in Canada not long ago, and I think they sent 10 kids in 2 days after the insane institution. Sure, I better settle down to the old-fashioned gospel and come back to Christ. Certainly, draw the lines between right and wrong. Elias was sitting up there on the hill, and they said he was a crank. They said he didn't know what he was talking about. And here they were down here with nothing to eat. The wheat crops didn't produce. Didn't have no water. They didn't have nothing gnawing of the tongue. And they said that he was a crank. And there he was sitting up there, a whole lot better off than many of you people are in Chicago tonight. Lying. He was sitting up there first in the will of God. Sitting by a spring of water with crows bringing him something to eat. He had porters that brought him something to eat. Every time he got hungry, here come a crow with a sandwich and give it to him. He eat, sit down and drink, shut up, praise the Lord. Now, if that isn't fine, I never told it. That's living in luxury to me. Would it be you? Sure it was. And knowing that he was in the will of God. Someone said to me one time, said, Brother Brandon, do you actually believe those crows brought him meat and bread? I said, yes, sir. Said, how do you know that? I said, the Bible said so. So, he said, well, listen, I want to ask you a question then. Where did they get it? I said, I'm going to tell you, I don't know. But I said, the only thing I know, they brought it, he eat it. Now, I said, just like the question you asked me a while ago, what makes me shout and say on the way of you? It's the Holy Ghost. I can't tell you where it comes from, but I know it gets here, and I just take it. That's the only thing I can do. God sent it, and I love it. Amen. So long as in the will of the Lord, what difference does it make? I don't care where it comes from, as long as the Lord sent it to me, it's good. And then I just receive it. I don't care what the world thinks about it. Go ahead and all your tongues and all your water dried up, no hallelujah in the church and all condemnation sitting around kicking fingernails while the preacher's bringing his little 65 10 cent store message and try to pat you on the back and everything in. That's right, that's how Pastor Ken is Pentecostal. Run! Oh, that's rough, isn't it? But it's your truth. Yes, sir. What you ought to have is some more John the Baptist. An old message like that, a man filled with the Holy Ghost who walked right up in the face of sin and said, it's not lawful for you to have it. Right. Amen. That's what the Bible says to do. That's the way you will rule the tree. That's right. Cut it down. That's what we need is a circumcision. Circumcision means to cut off surplus flesh. That's what we need in a Pentecostal church tonight, is some surplus flesh and nonsense cut out of it. Exactly right. Back to the old hearing line. Life was sitting up there for 3 years, just having a good time, under the anointing of the Lord, every day and every night. Every time a crow would come by, get right down, get in the sandwich and eat it, get up and praise the Lord, give him a drink of water, and shout a little while, and sit back down again. Well, that isn't wonderful. And then they begin to find out, wonder what become of that Holy Ghost. Wonder, well, he might have been right after all. So then they started on a hunt for him. So they hunted every nation, trying to find him, but he was taken by him. Certainly not. So the Lord said, Ahab, Elijah, I want you to go down and meet Ahab. Go down the mountain he come, and walked up and Ahab met him. He said, oh, here you are. So this is you, huh? You're the one that troubles Israel. Oh, my. You know what he said? He said, it isn't me, it's you and your little Jezebel that's coming. Zechariah, you brought this witchcraft into Israel and done these things that you've done. You're the one that's done this. And he said, that's what the people of the day, they try to say, oh, they make too much noise, and they do this and that. That's the trouble of it. Listen, it's not the doctor, it's the disease that causes the trouble. That's right. It's the disease, it's the sin that cut off their blessing. That's the sin that's in, not because you haven't got good pastors, not because you haven't got fine churches, not because you haven't got this, that, or the other. Sure you have, but it's the sin that's cutting you away from these things that you ought to have. It's sin that's keeping the church in that raptured condition all the time. It's sin. Not the building, not the church, but the sin that's in the church. So then, he said, call him up on Mount Carmel here and we'll find out who's God. Let the God that answers the fire be God. Let's prove and see who's God. Oh, I'm so happy to know that we still have the same God. That the God that is God still answers like God, talks like God, walks like God, heals like God, saves like God, and cleans up like God. Amen. Still the same God. It's true. God is a visiting the people today. God is in his church trying to purge the things. Take out the leaven out of it. He's sending messengers, signs and wonders and miracles and everything, trying to prove that he loves them and he wants them to clean up. Get rid of this here, all this hang on, staying home on Wednesday night from prayer meetings to look at this old silly stuff of an old woman from Hollywood who's married four or five different times and some guy that's run with half the women on the West Coast who loves Lucy's and all these things like that, and you Christian people stay home to see that and stay with the house of God, it shows what kind of a spirit is in you. Amen. I've got it home from the FBI files, any ministers can get them at warranty, if you only know the filth and things of them people, if you make your example. Dress like them, act like them, talk like them. Brother, read the Bible. Talk like a Christian, act like a Christian, be like a Christian, live like a Christian. What we need today. Amen. Now these paints and scissors that cut your hair that bothers you, it's that spirit in you that makes you go get it. That's what it is. Max Doctor can make all of it he wanted to and lay it over there, and if you're a Christian, you'd never touch it. I mean, if you're baptized with the Holy Ghost and living where you ought to live. Right. And your pastor preached the truth and let you know about it. You wouldn't even care of it. How could you sell old button shoes down on the street today, them high laced up shoes that you got more leather in them and a dozen pair of these little things that you pay $25 for? A little strap across the toe and a big old red painted toenail sticking out like that and a heel flopping around through the rain and you go down the street like that. Right. That's right. But you couldn't sell that old fashioned shoe because you don't want it. You done seen Martha Susanna out there wear some other kind. See? You want a dress like her. You don't want that dress that hangs loose. You want that that's like you're poured into it because if you've seen Susie on the
television and the radio and in the magazines, the devil putting all that stuff around young kids drinking beer, Ertl's 92 and Flicks and all this kind of stuff. That's a lie. And nothing but that turns young men and women into steady eyed wrestlers against that stuff. It's the devil. It fills the insane institutions. It fills the prostitute houses. It does everything else. It breaks up home. It causes rape and murder and everything else. And cigarettes poisons the mind, causes cancer. And the medical association, even decent enough to place it out, and you continually smoke that devil's weed. I don't know why I'm saying this, boy. That don't sound like me, but I'm going to say it anyhow, as long as it's coming out like that. It's wrong. It's wrong. Get away from it. Christians, get filled with God. Yes. One day when the final time comes for God's word to be answered, Elijah's prophecy to be fulfilled, the dogs licked the blood of Ahab right in the same place before they could wash the chariot in the pool of Samaria. When they went out to wash the chariot where he was shot and killed, the dogs licked his blood. And when Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the righteous man with a right daddy behind him, that made a right man and a real king, Jehoshaphat was a man of God. See what he produced? See? And Jehu, when he come riding through there fiercely on this chariot, he cleaned up everything that was called Satan. I mean, he cleaned house. We need some more Jehu today. That's right. Ride fiercely through the ranks and scatter the things. All black, black, and white, white. Right. Right, right, and wrong, wrong. And when he come down through there, little Miss Jezebel, she thought, well, I'm a vamp anyhow, you know. But I'm all pretty. And she goes over there and gets her makeup kit, you know, and she begins to fix her face all up with all that makeup and stuff. And, you know, and I've seen women do that in the restaurant. They take a piece of paper, a napkin, and bite it like that. Busting in the mind of a mad dog trying to bite a stick or something. And all like that, look back again and make it around like that. And then she fixed herself all up and she fixed her hair all manicured up just the way it was supposed to be, you know. And she thought she looked all pretty. She comes strutting out, you know, with that new type of dress on. She looked out the window and she said, she's gonna have dress. Jerry was a man of God. That didn't go with him. He was the right kind of pastor. He was a real evangelist. He said, who's for me and God up there? And whoever you need cut enough God about him left said, we are to tear out the window. Amen. Say, he got rough, didn't he? And when she hit the streets, the blood splashed on the horses and up on the chair. The lay there and drove on over. He was still in the will of God, so the word of God will work with the will of God always. Goes over and sits down, eats his dinner, said, well, that's a pretty good cleanup today. Said, you ought to go there, because she was a king's daughter. And when she got there, he forgot that the word of God must be fulfilled. What was left? The palms of her hand and her skull, the dogs would eat her up. If you only know what, that has to be a strange thing, because dogs won't touch human blood. That's right. It's God pushing to do it. And I said, I know that. I know that for truth. Just so they won't touch human blood. And so then these dogs would eat her up because God had commanded them to do it. And there she was in that disgrace. The word of God prevailed. It'll always prevail, friend. I'm not angry with you. I love you. I want you. I better keep those evangelistic services. Or maybe I get too rough. I don't mean to be. I love you. But brother, sister, that's the truth. That's the truth, so help me. And I could say this, it's thus saith the Lord for his word. That's right. Now get that old cancer condition away from the church. Get out of it, women. Get out of it, man. Not only women, but man too. And preacher also. You let down the bar, Pastor. There's something wrong with you. You haven't prayed to, or you absolutely see your congregation getting in that condition. You stand and resist the thing if you preach the four walls. Yes, sir, John. That's the truth. You will do it. And what we need is a old-fashioned scouring out, cleaning up, And you Pentecostal people don't watch the Baptists and Presbyterians who take your blessing and go on to glory with it. Famous Baptist ministers and Presbyterian leaders are receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we're hungry for it, Brother Brown. We're hungry for it. And they're going on and on. Some of the outstanding men in the nation hungering for God. Oh, let's clean up. Let's all of us, the Lutherans, the Baptists, the Presbyterians, the Pentecostal, we're not divided. We're all one big church of the living God. Let's join our hands with one another, our hearts together, look over towards Calvary, march on through the ranks. Let's go on to victory to victory. Jesus is coming soon, friends. And remember, you people here, try to be that called out group. Remember, the Bible said in the last church age, you'll be that Laodicean church age. Lukewarm. That's just where the Pentecostal church has got to. That's where they're all getting. If you don't watch, God's going to come down and put a little remnant out here and here and here, make up the bride and be gone, you see. So let's be up now and believe God and have faith in God and believe that God is here and that God that was in Elijah is the same God that's right here tonight. He's the same God that was. You might not want to receive it, but it's God just the same. He is. And he does miracles. He shows visions. He sends powers. He heals the sick. He has revelations. He just everything just exactly what God has always done. How can we then, friends, in the light of this Bible, ever sit still and still live the same way? Here's the only thing you do. Now, when you leave the church tonight, you say, you know, I've got to do better than God. Yeah, that is true. But tomorrow you go right back into the office when you're oughtn't to go. If your husband's sick, you need to do it. But if it isn't, listen, sister dear, God made you for one place, the kitchen. When you get out of there, you're out of his will. Remember that. Women was made to be a helpmate at the house. She never was made for office work. And it's caused more disgrace and divorces and things. And today, even your lovely city is degraded as far as ours is with women tops on the street. If that ain't a disgrace to Chicago or anything else, when thousands of men walk in the street wanting a job. Exactly the truth. And big, oh my. Hey, get over there! You ought to be in the kitchen cooking your husband a pot or something. That's exactly right. I know that's hard, friend, but that's said not with scorn, it's said with love, that I love you, and I want you to understand it in that way. But you can't see sin and set still. That's all. I don't like it. And I fit in the people, and the people here, and the people I preach to are people who love me, and my living comes for them people. God puts up on their heart, and they give me living. But when I stand in the judgment bar, God looks down to me in the presence of that great light of God and say, William Branham, you know better than that. And you let them headlong plunge into it. I'll require their blood at your hand. God forbid. No, no, no. I say it, my dear brother, sister, preacher, that God gives me breath as long as I live. And when that day, it'll get you. I want him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what I want him to say. I want him to say, all you happy people now, aren't you glad that you're circumcised from them things of the world? It's like that preaching tonight on the shore and sheep. You're a sheep, and the reason the Spirit has left the church is because the Spirit only stays on sheep. And you say, now, Brother Branham, now you're talking about us women and us men doing these things. That's if I want to take a little drink, Brother Branham, as I come home from work, that's my American privilege. That's fine. If I want to smoke a good cigar, that's none of your business. That's my privilege. That's right. But if you're sheep, you're willing to give up and be shorn of your own life, your own privilege. A sheep is willing to lay down and doesn't take off of him. Well, come on. Is that right? You say, if I want to wear a dress and a skirt and I want to do this the way I want to do, that's my business. That's my American privilege. The American public cuts it out, and it's legal. They won't run me off the street with it. And if I want to do it, I'll do it. That's my privilege. That's right, madam. That's exactly right. But if you're a lamb, you're ready to forfeit your right to be a lamb of God. That's right. If you are a lamb, you'll forfeit your right. That's true. So you ought to do that. And if you go out and don't try to say, well, I'm going to quit it. praise of God just makes it so real to you. You'll quit yourself, that's it, if you'll just do that. Now, we're here to help you, not to hurt you, but to be a blessing to you. And I pray that you'll take this little old cut-up evangelistic message tonight to your heart and go home and pray over it and say, God, be merciful to me. How many believe that it's the truth? And say, I accept it as the truth, Jason. God bless you. Fine. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, in the light of God's blessed holy word, yet with this pouring into my heart, the holding back to this prayer line that's coming up, I pray, God, that you'll help now and may that which I was going to say press on into their hearts anyhow. Grant it, Lord, and let it be received in the spirit of love, not in rebuke, but in the spirit of love, seeing this great cancer of sin moving in on these blessed children of yours. And how the pastors sit silent and don't say nothing about it. Oh, God, raise up a man that'll stand out. Grant it, Lord. Send some more teach bites to light along that'll really stand regardless. Grant it, Father. And preach that they can see the light. Oh, yes, Jezebel had the light. Plenty of it. She had Mount Carmel light to see that God answered prayer and performed miracles. She knew it. But she wasn't willing to sacrifice and to walk in the light. And I pray, Father, that you'll bless each one here tonight and give glory and heal the sick now. And let it be known that the God of Elijah still lives tonight, that he's still the same God. And I'll ask this in Jesus' name. And while we have our heads bowed, I wonder tonight, I want everyone praying, I wonder tonight, in the little talk that we just had, as a little family talk together here, the final part of the service closing tomorrow night, I wonder if you would say, Brother Branham, by this, not Brother Branham, Lord God, I'm guilty of these things, but I'm ashamed of myself. I have been going to church and calling myself a Christian. I've been taking a little drink. I've been smoking a little. I tell some foul jokes and with the crowd, and I take a drink to be sociable. But I'm changing myself, Brother Brennan, as a profession to be a servant of Christ. I realize it's the wrong spirit making me do that. And the woman say, I'm changing myself, Brother Brennan. I did have my hair all cut off, and I know the Bible says me not to do that. I know I spent a big part of my time in a beauty shop. You should look your best, sister. That's right. Be clean and neat and lovely and sweet. I know your husband will appreciate you like that. But you look a lot better to let your hair grow out. Women are supposed to have that. They ain't supposed to look like man. Man's not supposed to have long hair. The Bible says they not. You say, I've used paint and makeup, Brother Branham. I've used the wrong kind of clothes. I know I've showed myself before, man. Listen, I've said this. I want to say it again. We just hear it now. Sister Lou, you may be as pure as a lily to your husband. You may be just as pure and undefiled from those things. But did you know at the judgment you may be called on as committing adultery? You know, Jesus said, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. But what if you dress yourself that way when you go out on the street and a sinner man looks at you and lusts after you? Then he's going to have to answer for adultery at the day of judgment, and you're going to be the one that's guilty. And you'll have to answer for adultery in the presence of God, and no adulterer will ever enter heaven. You presented yourself before him to look that way. You see what I mean? Bless your heart. I don't want you to be all disappointed or judgment. I want you to go, you might be pure and clean as you can be. You may be just a lovely type of a woman. But if you dress yourself like that and man lusts for you, and you presented yourself to man like that, and they do, you'll answer at the day of judgment as an adulterer. Exactly right. The Bible says so. See, this word's deep. For years I've passed through this country of America, my homeland. I told you all 2 years ago. I went through this land praying for the sick and the signs and wonders. I said, one of these days I'm coming back. I'm coming with the gospel truth. That's right. I can win the love of the people down. I want to tell them what's true. That's what I'm doing. Are you guilty? No one raising your head now. Everybody in prayer. Would you raise your hand to Christ and say, by your help, God, cleanse my heart tonight. Let me be a different person, both man or woman. Would you just raise your hands to Christ right now? God bless you. That's fine. Everybody. By your sacrifice, from this night on, I want to pray that you give me a different spirit that will make me look different and act different. I don't want to act like the world. Be separate from the world. Come out from among the unclean, the uncircumcised. Touch not the unclean things, your old sexy clothes, your smoking and your drinking and your gambling and your dirty jokes. Don't associate yourself with it. God, do you think that gentle dove of God could ever stay in a place like that where all those dirty things are going on? No, friend, no, no. It'll depart in a meter. So if you've got that in you, get rid of it tonight, William. Now, there's been at least 30, 40 hands up. I want to pray for you. Now, dear God, if I should go home to glory tonight, as I trust that I will someday, I hope that you keep me here a long time till you're finished with me, believing that you will. But I feel that I have told the truth in the light of the gospel. And I pray, God, that it's received right now. And these hands that went up, they were convinced that they've been wrong. They're sincere, Lord. We don't want them to feel hurt. We want them to feel blessed. And we want them now, if it be your divine will, which I know it is, to put a new spirit in them. They don't want to act like that. A man don't want to drink and carry on like that and tell those smelly jokes. And women don't want to paint their faces and act like heathens and be marked by a trait of heathenism. God, we pray that you'll help them tonight and bless them all. And now, and save all the sinners, Lord. Call the backsliders back to the place again of the blessings of God. Take out all the old clogs and the stuff that's clogging up the line from the irrigation that runs into the garden of hallelujah, where the flowers eternal grow and the blessed perfume of God's holy presence is with them all the day. God grant the water supply is cut off because sin has done it. God, remove all sin tonight and water that garden again with your blessings and your blood, Lord, that the sin will be taken away. And now, Lord, that the people would know that you're still the Lord Jesus and that I be your servant, I pray now, after this hard, true talking, I pray that you'll anoint me just now, Lord, with the Holy Spirit that'll speak things and heal the sick to let the people know that you love them and it's your message and you want them to be well and prosper and do good things. Grant it, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. The word makes you feel like you're scoured out. It does to me. Just to hear the word just cleanses me out. Just makes me a new person. Does it feel that way? Billy, you get out there for us. 10. 1 to 100. All right? Hymns 1 to 100. Let's call some other man.
Did you tell that?
After there's your trouble. I'll confess that to God. I said, it wasn't God you sinned against, it was your husband. Go make it right with him. And when finally she did it, she got healed. Then she come back. I said, now Satan will have to leave. Because as long as there's sin in your life, Satan can hold a stick over you. That's exactly right. Whether it's something that you've done or something you ought to have done, be just the same thing. So, let's see, how many got called? I don't think I got the name. What was I calling from? From 1 to what? Oh, from 7 to 15? 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. This one, we'll pray for these to your water. Now the rest of us are here tonight. Heavenly Father, Now we pray that your holy hands will be laid upon these handkerchiefs and parcels here, and may they be healed, every one that they recognize. Grant it, Lord. May when they get there to that poor old mother laying in the hospital, and her baby maybe with convulsions or whatever it may be, thou knowest, Lord. And I pray that the evil spirits will go from him. Grant it, and may be made well through Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, are you still all of them lined up? Is that all right? Then we'll start the prayer line if they're not lined up. Now, I want everyone to please, for the next few moments, if you can, this is going to be a changeover to stand and like that and start praying for the sick. I will, if you will just keep your feet up for a few moments and just believe. And then, if you are sick and you have need of God, if you just look this way and pray and say in your heart, say this. Say, Lord God, I'm in need of you. Maybe I'm just a little skeptic. You, Brother Graham doesn't know me, I'm sure. You just have him to turn around and say to me what this is that's caused me to be this way, or something that I know that's the truth, and all doubts will fade from me, and I'll never just believe no more. Now, that's quite a thing to say. A brother and sister in Christ, and you do that and see if he doesn't cause them. Now, sometimes it's such a conglomeration, I can't get it all, but I've explained that what that is. I heard a lady here, I suppose that she is a stranger to me. Are you a lady? We do not know each other and never met, I guess, in life. But this man, you saw me one time, where about?
In San Diego.
In San Diego, Illinois, you saw me. All right? But of course, that's been about 10 years ago. I first got started. And you just among that big crowd there in that tent. Oh my. That was quite a cry, wasn't it? Was you there the night that blind boy that had no eyes got healed and come over and picked up my pie and said, what color is that? Right along for the last for me. And it's been about 10 years ago. There's a shoe cobbler there also in Van Day. I believe had blind eyes that got healed in the knee. One night the Lord broke through and just flooded the place, and they picked up cots and stretchers, and the papers packed a bit. The Chicago paper called me Brother Henry Brown. I never will forget that. The Tribune here in Chicago. That's 3 pages of it. It's been a long time since then. A lot of waters went on the river, but God still remains the same. Now, this lady, she doesn't know me. She said she'd seen me in a meeting one time, but 10 years ago. Then, if there's anything you're here for, I don't know it. You know that. I have no way of knowing that. Only God would have to reveal it. Is that right? Well, now, if Jesus talking to the woman at the well, didn't talk like we're talking now, and then finally found where her trouble was and told her, she believed that it was the Messiah. She believed. She said, we Samaritans know that the Messiah will do this when he comes. But she couldn't understand who he was, and he told her that he was the Messiah. Isn't that marvelous? How wonderful. Well, he's still Messiah tonight. Now, to the audience, Moses, when he went out and turned his hand to leprosy and healed it, and showed the people that God had sent him, that settled it with all Israel. They just went on following him. Is that right? But if God tonight, if you desire to question the woman, okay. God tonight knows that this woman, I know nothing of her, never have seen her in my life to know of. Of course, me stand up before the people, she could see me, but I know her not. Here she is. She's probably one of your friends here, and you know all about her. But now, if God can tell to me what the woman is here for, or what her trouble is, it might be domestic trouble, it might be sickness, it might be for somebody else, I don't know. I can tell you. But if we will reveal that, we'll have to know that it's some kind of a spiritual unseen power doing it. Is that right? Well, now, the Bible said that when Jesus is here on earth, that's the very thing he did and didn't do nothing till first the Father showed him. Is that the scripture? And he said, these things that I do, shall you also. I'll be with you to get into the world. Now, if we can reproduce his life in our bodies tonight by cleansing us with his own blood, which we're unworthy, but make us worthy through his blood, then it ought to satisfy everyone that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, and he's right here with you. Is that right? Now, may he grant it. He might not. I couldn't tell you. He may. But may he grant it. I want to talk to you. Been preaching and waiting. Of course, I'm waiting on a changing for the Holy Spirit, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, for the healing church. But now, just to speak with you for a moment, and if God reveals this now, you're going to accept it, whatever it is. You're going to accept it. Now, to the audience, I'm just looking at a young woman standing here, a lot younger than I, and she's looking at me, and looks to me like a Christian to look at her, and she, I don't couldn't say, only just to look at her and think she looks like a Christian. But God knows for all things right. But now, if God can or will, don't say he can, if he will reveal to me what's your trouble, then that settles the whole question. It's all over. So, isn't that wonderful to know that the God of Elijah still lives? Are you there? Right. You are a Christian, all right, because of that real welcoming begins to come since the angel of the Lord. You're conscious that something's going on now. Now, just as a Christian sister and a Christian brother, just a second ago, something's taking place. Brother, you can feel something. If that's right, raise up your hand. Because right between me and you now, the anointing begins to start. There's a light standing between me and you. Did you ever see the picture of it? You never seen it. I think they have it here. It's right between you and I now. Your trouble is in your leg. That tears you. And it's in the bone. And it's a tumor and it's malignant. You're in a serious condition and a black shadow hangs near you, which is death. That's true. You are from Illinois, but not down there. Place like a hills, over hills, something like that, Illinois. Right. Your name is War.
Yes,
sir. Idiot M. War.
Yes.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Do you believe me not to be his servant?
Mm-hmm.
Then come here. Our Heavenly Father, in the Bible, when thou wast here on earth, you walked among man and yielded yourself to the Father of heaven, and he was in you and showed you things to do and to speak, and you said you didn't do nothing unless he showed you first. And then, as the Father sent you, you said you send us and go with us and be with us, and the things that you've done would be continued, your ministry by your church until you come again. And we're looking for you to come the second time in glory. And tonight, the very evidence, the initial evidence of the living God is here on the platform tonight among the people in Chicago. And the sign that he said would be done to the end of the world is now being done. And this devil that's been on our sister to take her life, may he be cursed in Christ's name and come from the woman and may she live. Amen. God bless you, lady. I go happy and exalted. Amen. Do you now believe? Now look, I've been preaching for about 2 hours. All right. That one vision and look at the beads of sweat. It just weakens you. Something goes from you. The thing left the lady, see? The woman touched his garment and said, something went from him. Not from him. All right, bring the man. Now please, be reverent, if you will. Remember, evil spirits come out of one and go into others. How many know that to be true? So be reverent. Sir, God must help you. Because you're aware of cancer and your condition, the bowels there. When you sit down, you have to use a cushion to sit on. But only God can help you. Do you believe if I ask Him that He will help you and all this host of people here tonight, Christian believers?
Yes, they do.
You believe it. Will you praise Him and give Him all the glory?
Yes.
You love Him with all your heart and will serve Him as you do?
Yes.
You will. May the Lord stand so forth. Heavenly Father, as looking into the face of this man, knowing that he said tonight, like the lepers who sat at the gate of Samaria, when the Syrians had his feet, they were lepers. They said, why do we sit here till we die? If we sit here, we're sure to die. If we go in the street, there's nothing to be done for us. And they took a chance of going to the host of the enemy. And you rewarded their faith and saved their life. God, this man, the doctor can do no more. And there's nothing left for him to do but to come to you. And you're not an enemy. You're a loving Father who's expecting him tonight to come. And now he's come, and I lay hands upon him as your servant. And ask that in Jesus Christ's name that you'll heal the man and let him live. And maybe in the return to Chicago sometime, he'll come and give praise and glory to you for his healing. Amen. God bless you, brother. Now go, don't doubt nothing. Just go on like it is. And nothing ever happens to you. Now just be reverent. Just whatever it is you can do. Have faith in God. Only the Lord Jesus can make the sick well. I'm the Lord who heals all of thy diseases. Is that true?
Right.
The Bible says that it is the truth. And we know if the Bible says so, it is true. Now, here's a lady standing here rather before me, a stranger to me. That is true, isn't it? I don't know you. But Jesus does know you. Now, if I had some way of helping you, and I wouldn't do it, wouldn't I be a terrible man? Well, if the judgment falls, what would God say to me? If he says, I told you to go help that woman and you didn't do it, I have to answer for it. But I have no way of helping you, only that something might raise your faith in God. Is that right? And your healing has already been completed when Jesus died for you. You just got to have faith to receive it. Isn't that right? Now, if God will reveal to me what you're here for, will you accept it and believe it? You will. Will all these will do the same? All right, sir. Just look this way just a moment. I just want to talk to you. The first thing, I see blood dripping before me. It's got sugar in it. It's just diabetes. You got sugar diabetes. Done. Insulin's a wonderful thing, but the blood of Jesus is better. Isn't that right? Say, I see you're upset about something, too. Something in your heart that you're praying about. It's your husband. And say, he's a patient in a hospital. That's right. State hospital. And you're wanting, you're praying about, it's his soul. That's right. It's his soul that you don't believe is saved. And you won't pray for him. I'm not reading your mind, but that's true, isn't it? Now, there's not a shadow doubt in your mind, are there? Oh, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, I pray that you'll grant this and give her her deliverance and her husband in Christ's name. Amen. Looking down at the hospital of the chart, Mr. Hill, you can go ahead then. I shouldn't do it. I seem to start the name. That's the reason I said that. You see. And, all right, well, just one. Have faith in God. Don't doubt. But believe. Do you believe the Lord Jesus lives and reigns? Do you believe He's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Are you a minister's wife? It's not on your ticket, but I thought I'd seen some of the platform and someone preaching or something. It was your husband. Well, I don't think you as a lady you are would let someone else put their arm around your feet in. Because you're a real lady. I admire you. You believe the Lord Jesus can heal you? To make you well? You got someone else you want to pray for too, haven't you? got sinus trouble, has hay fever on. That's true. A little girl, I'd say about 10 or 12 years old. That is right, isn't it?
Your
daughter. You're not from Illinois. You're from a state that's kind of strange. Wrong, thank you. From a place called Parker, Kansas, is where you come from. That's right. You believe he is this prophet?
Yes, I do.
And you touch the handkerchief that you wipe the tears from your eyes on your child, everything will be all right. Heavenly Father, I bless this woman in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you heal her and make her well. For Jesus' sake, amen. Now, Mrs. Moss, you go home soon. This will be well. Oh, Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. He's real and he's wonderful. How do you do, sister? I want to ask you something. You were sitting right down here just a few moments ago. That's right. You were looking up here at me, and all of a sudden, while I was speaking, you see, you was all thrilled about something all at once, wasn't it? I could tell you, it was the vision over you then. That little fist won't hurt you. You know that, don't you? You know that won't hurt you. And your worries that you got on your heart, it won't hurt you. But you must remember that God heals. You believe your dad would be all right? You do? God can heal that cancer if you believe it. If you believe it. Do you believe it? See, your mother's had some trouble too. She had a stroke recently. Isn't that right? Now, do you believe that you're standing in his presence? Do you accept everything that Jesus died for to be yours tonight? Would you come here? Heavenly Father, I bless this dear woman as she stands here in need, and I pray that in Christ's name that you will heal her and heal the loved ones that she asked for in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And you take those and lay them on both. And God bless you. Let's say praise the Lord. Old stomach trouble's awful bad and cause you, you know, but God's the healer of it. You believe that? You want to go eat? But you think that God will make you well? You do? I just keep going on by praising God. He's always doing the will of the Lord. That trouble keeps us to the God can make that well. Don't you believe that? Sure. Just keep going by them. I believe he's done. Amen. I want to ask you something. When I said stomach trouble to that lady, a real funny feeling stuff over you. Now you go eat too. That ulcer left you. Glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. All praise, all powers in heavens and earth is given to his hand. What do you think about it in the audience? God is real, isn't he? Don't you believe that he can heal? Don't you believe he can make well? He can do anything that he so desires to do. Don't you believe that? Amen. Oh, I just love him. There's something in my heart just bubbling over. How I love the Lord Jesus. I want to ask you if you'll believe with all your heart right now, and you'll see the glory of God. How many out there now that raised your hand a while ago without your card? I want you to go to praying. I want you to pray that God will just send down the Holy Ghost. And what if I didn't say nothing to you and just pray for you and told you to go get well? Would you believe it? Then just go right ahead. The Lord bless you. How about that throat? You believe that God will heal it? You want to sing for the glory of God. You used to be a singer, didn't you? And you want to sing for the glory of God. All right, you're going to. Just have faith in God. That young man sitting next to you there, he just thrilled all over when I said that. He's got something wrong with his face. That's right, isn't it, young fella? And you believe that Jesus Christ makes you well. And that gland trouble, too, God can make that well. You believe it? He's not said that so you'd understand something else is serious today. Yes. Amen. You believe that God will do it? Amen. What do you think about it? Nodded your head. The colored lady sitting there. Sitting there in the front row looking at me. Looked up to this lady, nodded, that's right, she said. Mm-hmm. Got something wrong with your head, haven't you? That's right. You believe you could be God's prophet? His servant, I mean to say. That's some of those people when you say prophet. You believe it? There's something else that I can't see just exactly. There's something going on, but I can't tell just what it is. I see two people. It's someone else. It's another lady. Yes, you're praying for another lady. It's your friend. She has a cancer, doesn't she? That's your hand. Amen. Hallelujah! Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. Little lady sitting in front of that man is praying so hard there. Kind of heavy, set got swollen glands. Like a, yes, ma'am, you're praying awful hard to be healed, aren't you? I want the man right behind you to lay his hand over on you, if you will. Will you do that for me, brother? All right. Heavenly Father, bless that woman. She's trying to break through, and in that midst of that life hanging over, I pray that you'll grant her healing through Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You'll feel why you're sending it, honey, so just move on. Let God save you, Lord. Amen. Let's say thanks to the Lord. Oh, he's wonderful. What do you think, ladies, sitting right back there? You got stomach trouble, haven't you? Got a little girl's got stomach trouble, too. Oh, that surprised you, didn't it? But you got healed, then. Amen. You're a nervous sort of a family. That's the peppy condition of the stomach that causes that. The little girl inherited from you from your nervousness. Right. Food sours and belches and so forth. That is right. That's saith the Lord. That's just the lady next to me. She has dizzy spells, honey. And she, isn't that right, lady? Raise up your hand. That's right. You want to be healed? Or the lady was sitting there that just was healed with stomach trouble. Lay your hand over on her, sister. Father, in Christ's name, I pray that you confirm this. And I, by Jesus Christ's name, through the power of the risen Christ, I cast away them spirits from them people. In Jesus' name. Amen. He's wonderful. Do you need more evidence that he lives and from the dead? Do you believe he's here right now? What more would you want? To disbelieve would be sin. What is sin? Unbelief. Is that right? I want to do something right now while I've got the strength left to do it. I'm going to trust this to you. I'm going to trust that you will confess every sin that you know of right now. Confess it to God that it's wrong. And I'm going to try with all my heart, with all my strength, with all that is within me. If I found favor with you, God, please hear my prayer tonight. I pray sincerely. These people, Lord, I truly believe are sincere in their hearts. They've been tossed about from pillars of posts and taught this, that, and all kinds of churches and creeds. But Father, I feel sorry for them. We're trying to be well. I pray thee, Lord Jesus, here tonight, will you please? And answer prayer. And Father, I pray that you'll let the Spirit of God go forth now and do the exceeding abundantly here from heaven, God, that people's hearts have been pulled through everything what makes it so gross and dark that they can't just realize and raise up at this time and know that you're in the room. Not I, Lord. You are here. It's you that's doing this. And I pray that you'll give blessings to each one in Christ's name. Now, put your hands over on each other. Every person that's sick, raise your hand. Now, someone lay your hand on somebody that's sick. And you come here to me, sir. Now, put your hands over on someone. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how fathomless and strong, it shall forever more endure. Thanks, an angel song. My beloved friends, while you're in prayer, while your heads are bowed, while you're praying one for the other, have I found grace in your sight enough that you could believe me to be the servant of the Lord? Has the Lord confirmed his word back that I am with you 100% to help you in the kingdom of God? Has God revealed that after all these 7 or 8 years that I've gone back and forth to Chicago? If that be so, then hear me as God's servant. But the Bible says, lay hands on each other, that they shall lay their hands on one another, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. I believe in you. I believe you to be sincere in God's children. And I believe with all my heart that God has called me to this work. And I believe if I'll ask with all sincerity, and you'll believe with all sincerity, and this one great union affair, as our hands and hearts are joined together in the fellowship of the resurrected Christ, is here in the building right now without any doubt at all, infallible sign showing that he's here. When you realize how great our hearts are to step in a meeting like this and hold our peace, can you imagine how far away we have drifted and how little we have called the things of God to sit in a meeting like this and see these things grow and say nothing about it and just sit there like we were just growing there? Do you realize how far away from God we are to these things? Now let us open our hearts right now. Let's come open with our hearts from place to place and say, Lord Jesus, be on one side of God. I'm expecting here right now. Now, Satan, I rebuke you, and in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of the people. You are just an old doubter, and you're causing the people to doubt, but you've lost your hope. And the Holy Ghost is present right now to heal the sick. The power of God is here. And Satan, we cast you away from this people in Jesus Christ's name. Come out from the people. Now stand and give it praise, everybody, as a family service.